You're listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service, broadcasting from Raleigh, North Carolina, serving the blind and print-impaired community since 1983. This is Nancy Jones. For the next hour, I will be reading to you from the August 2019 issue of Vanity Fair magazine. This is Vanity Fair Part A. The Coast of Utopia. From the looks of Instagram, Courtney Adamo and the surfing mamas of Byron Bay are living the dream. Can It Be Real? By Karina Chocano. With photos by Tierney Giron. Opening photo, board meeting. Courtney Adamo with Amanda Callan, Amy Winchester, Mia Tananaka, and Hannah Tananaka, photographed at Watigos Beach in Byron Bay, Australia. Courtney Adamo's minimalist, shaker-style kitchen is gorgeous, but you already know that if you follow her. The house, one of the first built in the historic town of Bangalow, New South Wales, might just be the most overexposed house in Australia. With its clapboard, cupboards, wooden stools, bulk dry goods in mason jars, blanc marble countertops, slightly more expensive than the Carrara, she explains in a blog post about her kitchen renovation, but we are so happy with the decision. Dunlin Chelsea pendant lights, $669 each. Smeg refrigerator, $2,870. Lacanche oven and stove, range cooker of my dreams, and at about $10,000, a splurge. The kitchen is like a scene out of a little house on the trust fund prairie. Adamo, at Courtney Adamo, 250K Instagram followers, is a mid-tier family lifestyle micro-influencer, which, if you don't know, is a thing. Adamo set up her Instagram account in 2011 to share pictures of the kids with her family. She didn't know it was public until she got her first comment from a stranger. Now that she's hit 250,000 followers, her settings remain unchanged. She still considers her feed her personal thing, but there's something about the stream of photos, the uniform palette of beige and white, ochre and dusty rose, the coordinated clothes, the styled life, the sponsored content, the kids like modern-day Von Trapps that looks like a massive ad campaign. But for what? Children? Good genes? Good taste? Good luck? In the comments, her fans want to know how she keeps the place so spotless with five kids in the house, and it is spotless. They want to know what products she uses in her hair. Aveda is a partner. They want to know where she got that dress, that paint color, those shoes, that life. They want to know her secret. It's a rainy morning on the last day of school before Easter break, and Adamo, who is American but has begun to sound Australian, is making tea. Earl Grey for me and herbal for her two-year-old son, Wilkie. Her look, deep tan, hair up, no makeup, chicly, lumpy, oatmeal-colored cardigan by Spanish knitwear company Baba, at Baba, 95K followers, no shoes, is laid back, yet she seems preoccupied. Wilkie rolls around on the counter, drinking out of a porcelain cup. Every time he puts it down, I expect it to shatter. The cup has survived four siblings, Adamo tells me, and it will survive him, too. Because Wilkie, whose entire life, including his birth at home, has been documented online, is having an old-fashioned childhood, and that means no screens and absolutely no plastic. What's it like to work with your family all the time? Is that hard? I ask. More tea? Asks Wilkie, holding up his cup. No more tea, baby. Nope, nope, we're all going to be finished. It's all gone. Do you want me to give you some yogurt? Yeah, Wilkie says. Yes, please, Mom, she says. Yes, please, says Wilkie. I like yogurt. You like yogurt? She says. Then to me, what was your question? Just in terms of working with your family. I don't know. I love it. I love my family. I'm happy to work with my family, and they understand that. Yesterday, the kids came home from school, and I was like, you guys, we've got Millie here. I need family photos. She means lifestyle photographer and friend, Amelia Fullerton, at Amelia Fullerton, 50.3K followers. Millie's here, says Wilkie. Millie was here, wasn't she? She smiles at him. Yesterday. We needed photos for the project I'm working on, she continues, and they just get the drill, and they do it. Before Byron, Adamo lived in London for a decade. In the mid-2000s, she became something of a mommy blogging celebrity as a co-founder of Baby Chino, an international lifestyle website for modern moms, where those who don't want their kids wearing generic high street crap can find small batch high-end clothes and toys. Adamo joined Instagram in 2011 and grew a decent following thanks to the blog, the lifestyle coverage, and the occasional newspaper piece. Adamo has a journalism degree from Northwestern. Then, in 2014, she posted a cute picture of her then 18-month-old daughter, Marlo, lifting her shirt to contemplate her navel. Instagram removed the photo, saying it violated their standards. Adamo reposted it, and Instagram disabled the account. In a Baby Chino blog post, Adamo accused Instagram of deleting 4 years of my family photos and memories, all the photos of our travels, my children's birthdays, all of it gone. Tremulous hashtags emerged. Adamo's story went around the world. When the dust settled, her account had been reinstated, and she has amassed enough followers, as her husband Michael once put it, to fill Wembley Stadium twice over. A year or so later, Courtney, Michael, and their first four kids, Easton, 14, Quinn, 12, Ivy, 10, Marlo, 6, sold the house, the car, and many belongings, and embarked on a family gap year around the world. Adamo kicked off the voyage with a farewell piece in the Telegraph and the launch of her travel blog, Somewhere Slower. Then, after a highly publicized, lightly sponsored 18-month global search for the slow life, they never really considered a return to the U.S., she tells me, because Michael dislikes the consumerism. They alighted in Byron Bay, Australia. Wilkie was born there. The older kids were enrolled in school, and after spending a year and a half working on their visa applications, Michael began a job from home as a managing director for a Melbourne animation company. 2.5 years after arriving, the Adamos are fully settled. They might start the day with a surf sesh before school. In the afternoon, they might work together as a family. On Adamo's Instagram feed, which consists almost entirely of photos of herself, her beautiful children, and her photogenic friends, perpetually dressed in rumpled linens and dust bowl colors, life appears to be not so much a permanent vacation as a permanent travel shoot. A slightly overexposed, subtly saturated, high-contrast vision of free-spirited order and control. At the moment, however, she is stressed. She has a lot on her plate. She has 5 kids. She's still blogging, albeit less, for Baby Chino. She's managing her Instagram account. And she's getting ready to launch and has since launched a new business venture in the lifestyle space. Inspiring this many people really is a lot of work. Next photo, baby driver, Adamo at home with her youngest son, and Adamo sits on the porch, the sun-drenched porch. You can see the white house and a cactus plant in a terracotta pot, and one of her children riding a yellow tricycle on the porch. The dream of utopia, of a life lived in a sane, happy, slow-paced, sustainable, self-contained community of beautiful dreamers seeking refuge from the crass, materialistic, cruel world, has been with us forever, or at least since 1516, when Sir Thomas More coined the term as the name of a fictional island where everything was perfect and everyone was like-minded. Utopia is a play on the Greek word for no place, which in the English pronunciation sounds just like the Greek word for good place, as in a place so perfect it could only exist in fantasy or on Instagram. Some people follow the dream to distant lands, secure compounds, or intentional communities. Others just follow people on social media and live vicariously through them. Byron Bay, which has long been an actual hippie surfer wellness alterna lifestyle destination, has lately emerged as a kind of virtual utopia as well, thanks in part to all the ethical, organic, sustainable, conscious fashion labels to come out of there in recent years. Also, Chris Hemsworth lives there. Also, influencers. By the time Adamo arrived in Byron in 2016, she was known among some of the area micro-influencers, though she had never heard of them. On her first day there, she was invited to a magazine launch party. "It was so convenient," Adamo says. "I was like, perfect. What a perfect opportunity to meet people." The party took place at the farm, an actual farm that also houses a restaurant co-owned by the husband of influencer and cookbook author Magdalena Rose, at Magdalena_Rose40.2K followers, Amy Winchester, at little.winnie85.1K followers, was there, and so was Claire Alexander Johnston, at jetsetmama115K Instagram followers, and Fullerton, who would later go on to shoot Adamo for Spanish Vogue and the clothing label Dawn at ShopDawn180K followers, among others. "We went for a coffee the next day," Adamo says of the women she met, "and then we were really good friends and our kids connected. Within a few days of being here, we were like, this is our place. We just knew it." Next photos, paradise found. The Tananaka sisters at Hannah's house. Hannah, Winchester, Callan, Adamo, and Mia at Watego's Beach. Winchester at home in Malimbimbi and on her porch. Byron Bay is on the easternmost point of the Australian mainland. It was named by Captain James Cook after his fellow circumnavigator John Byron, grandfather of the poet Lord Byron, of mad, bad, and dangerous to know fame. Even if you don't know the story, you kind of know the story because it's the same the world over. The Bundjalung people, stewards of the land for 20,000 years, were dispossessed. In March of this year, Australia's High Court handed down the largest native title ruling in decades regarding Aboriginal ownership of the land, restoring Indigenous people's rights to their traditional land and water. But until 1968, they were barred from raising their own children, moving freely, having access to education, earning more than a certain amount, marrying without permission, eating in restaurants, swimming in public pools, or boating. In the late 60s, longboard surfers discovered Watego's Beach. By the 1980s, beach shacks on Watego's were giving way to mansions, and the hippie surfer vibe was well on its way to being upscaled and commodified. Lately, the town has emerged as a mecca for makers, an epicenter of small clothing labels and independent brands. On first impression, Byron looks like beautiful but crowded beaches, high-end stores and cute cafes, quotidian spring breakers, tourist shops and Greyhound buses, linen at a startling array of price points, and nourishing grain bowls sprinkled with petals. The Byron of your digital and increasingly brand-sponsored imagination, however, is all that, minus the bad stuff. A carefully curated bank of images designed to stoke your lifestyle longings, if such are your dreams. It's a land of large, nomadic broods who find their tribes on life's journey. Never mind that Australia's policies on immigration and refugees are draconian, bordering on vicious. In this young, mostly white, ahistorical, neoliberal utopia of the imagination, anyone can go anywhere. All you have to do is have a yard sale, hop in the gypsy caravan, point a finger at a map, and take up legal permanent residence any place that best showcases your lifestyle. Next photo, outback, the dog days of winter at Hannah's house. And this photo shows two mothers with children playing out in the yard. Lots of trees, lots of grass, lots of sunshine. Joe Gagliese, co-founder of Viral Nation, an influencer, marketing, and talent agency based in Toronto, couldn't think of another place like Byron Bay, a cross-tagging, cross-promoting, mutually amplifying, audience-sharing group of friends living, loving, working, and posting aspirational lifestyle content in a highly Instagrammable paradise. I think that that place, that Byron place, is kind of like one of those unicorn locations, he says, calling it an example of the future. It's either pretty scary or pretty cool, depending on how you look at it. The lady at the Hertz counter wants to know why I've traveled here for work. When I tell her that I'm writing a story about influencers, she looks at me in disbelief. In Byron? Yes, more or less. She does not appear to be delighted. And they pay you for that? Well, yes. She turns to her silent co-worker and says, I guess there are all kinds of jobs, aren't there? Together, we create a daisy chain of bewilderment. The GPS tells me to take the exit at the roundabout onto Hinterland Way, which isn't quite as remote as it sounds. I'm following the Adamo's dented white Kia to Watego's Beach. The van, driven by Michael, is packed with children and surfboards. I'm driving 50 miles per hour on the wrong side of the twisty potholed road. I'd feel like Hunter S. Thompson if I weren't sober and wearing my seatbelt. We arrive at the beach, and 30 minutes later I find a place to park. I meet up with the Adamos and their friends near the barbecue pits. It's starting to drizzle, but everyone is here to surf. The kids are free-ranging. The new baby makes a big poop. Everyone eats sandwiches, which need mustard or something. Wilkie wanders off and gets brought back by a nice stranger. Everyone thinks it's funny that the lady thought he was a girl because his hair is in a topknot. All the Murfers are here. The portmanteau of mom and surfer are Adamo's clique of pretty, stylish, entrepreneurial, and creative young mothers of multiple children whose laid-back, unstructured lives generate a dizzying combination of FOMO and squad goals. They live in old-fashioned houses and give their carefully unstyled children names that sound dreamed up for a Goop collaboration with Lemony Snicket. They're married to supportive, handsome, and scruffy men of purpose. They make their own hours and dinners and soap. They have their own brands. They are their own brands. According to at least one Australian magazine, the Murfers are nailing the lifestyle, which makes it sound like they're effortlessly pulling off an expert maneuver that only an elite, highly trained few could hope to attempt without risk of serious bodily harm. There's Winchester, Adamo's best friend, who is small and pretty and married to a professional bodyboarder, Dave. She has five girls, Coco, 11, Autumn, 9, Juniper, 5, Clementine, 3, and Daisy, 3 months, and a children's sleepwear label, Little Winnie, which operates almost exclusively online. She trained to be a yoga teacher, but got pregnant with Coco about a minute after she completed it. There's Amanda Callan at Church Farm General Store, 24.7K followers, a rangy former model with a sly sense of humor, and her two boys, Banjo and Percy. With her husband, musician Andrew Morris of the Wilson Pickers, she co-owns and operates Church Farm General Store, a brand that produces handmade and homegrown soaps and sauces. There are the adorable and impossibly cool Tananaka sisters, Mia at Mia Eats Wolves, 21.3K followers, an artist, has boys Ziggy, 5.5, Taro, 2.5, and Koa, 4 months. And Hannah at Hannah Tananaka, 9K followers, a linen expert, has boys Zephyr, 4, and Dali, 2, and twin girls on the way. Together they co-founded and run Tananaka at Tananaka.san, 9K followers, plant-dyed, organic, ethical bed linens for babies. Mia and Hannah grew up in Sydney and also lived in Bali. They are married to Jessen at Jessen Salisbury, 8.7K followers, a meditation teacher, and Jeremy at JD Lee Furniture, 10.5K followers, a carpenter who is planning to study fiction. Hannah helps Jeremy with the books for the furniture business, not the writing. "I didn't even know Courtney had an Instagram," says Hannah, when I ask about how everybody met. "I remember when I first met you, Amy," Mia says, "and I was like, oh, she's rad. And someone sent me your Instagram thing, and I was like," her voice turns skeptical, "that's not the same girl." Hannah laughs. "Really?" Winchester says, surprised. "Why?" "I don't know," Mia says, cracking up. Winchester had a personal account before starting her business, and then when she started it, she just changed the name, so it's always been a fusion of personal slash business. "Amanda's got the biggest business," Mia says. "She's the most professional. Ours is just on the side." "Yeah, our main focus is just being stay-at-home moms," says Winchester. "Their stuff's amazing," Mia says, meaning Church Farm. "They sell soap, curry paste, hot sauce. It's amazing." "Amanda does it with her partner," Winchester explains. "Our partners have other businesses, so for us it comes in waves. Amanda's is more solid." Imogene Edwards, at Imogene Imagination, 7.7K followers, pipes up. "Edwards is tall, blonde, beautiful. She's lived here and surfed her whole life. The base tan on her legs looks like it was laid down in the 80s. There's a lot of brands around Byron, and we all know each other, Edwards says. It's like an epicenter of building businesses. It's a hub of slow brands. Everyone's having a bit of a crack, Winchester says. Yeah, it's just not leaving it to the big guys, Mia says. Edwards doesn't have a brand, but she does have three girls, and she's doing some work for the music festival Splendor in the Grass. She was born in a town called Main Arm, just inland from Byron. Her parents split up when she was young, and her mom, one of the original female surfers who surfed competitively, rented a little house on the beach and worked at a health food store. Sometimes they got government assistance. Edwards didn't set up her Instagram until last year, when she and her partner decided on a whim to move to the south of France. She did it to meet new people and stay in touch with friends. In Paris, it led to coffee with an amazing woman who had two kids in a Steiner school and surfed. I wonder what made the French woman reach out. I just think people know Byron has a general chill vibe, Edwards laughs. What? Mia deadpans. Like, what's your star sign? Let's go meditate under a tree. It's the Byron bubble, Mia laughs. I think it's quite a conscious community, so you get a lot of people who are your people. They both pause for a moment. It's good to leave, Mia adds. You gotta leave. Oh, you gotta leave, Edwards emphatically agrees. But then you come back, and it's such a good place to come home to. There is a pause as they consider this, and then Edwards suggests I change the town's name in the article, just to keep from promoting it any more. Do we need to move here? Edwards mimics someone having just read this article. How do we become friends with Mia and Hannah, please? Tourist season all year round, Mia laughs. Hannah remembers one time at a campsite in Western Australia, someone recognized Mia and invited them to her cafe. Recently at the park, someone recognized Callan, or her sandwich. I didn't catch which. I was walking down the street with Courtney once, when Wilkie was a baby, Mia says, and this lady was like, Wilkie! And Courtney's like, Mia mimes, recoiling in alarm. And the lady says, I follow you on Instagram. Later, back home in Los Angeles, I FaceTime with Callan, who has decamped to the Gold Coast for Easter week. Callan was the one who coined the term Murfers as a joke after the group of women started surfing. She had a lot of great photos she didn't know what to do with, so last May, at Byron Bay Murfers, 3.3K followers, Mums Are Like Dads, Only Gnarlier, was born. She set the feed to private at first, but the girls were like, this is sick, just put it on public. We're just being silly, Callan says. On Callan's own feed, the Church Farm account, people can connect to the brand via photos of the products on the feed. Of course, but mostly it consists of lovely pictures of fun life on the farm, Callan and Morris prepping gardens or building a fire, images from the recent At Shop Dawn shoot, which used Church Farm as the backdrop for its spring campaign, a clip shot by a local videographer of little moments on the farm, Morris gathering produce, Percy hugging ducks, Callan in a Dawn baby doll dress, picking strawberries and hugging Banjo. The video, overlaid with a blown-out Super 8-style filter and set to a twangy 60s California garage rock track by the psychedelic rock band Alalas, looks like a home movie from a lost time. It looks like lost footage from Wild Wild Country. It looks like a high-end fashion shoot. When Callan and Morris first moved to Byron Bay from Sydney 8 years ago, they knew nobody and had no idea what they were due for money. They just knew they were sick of city life. They rented a house on South Golden Beach and took random jobs. Callan worked in farmers markets and Morris did a bit of farming. They came across their house while out for a drive in Northern Rivers. We were thinking, wouldn't it be cool if that church was for sale, she tells me. Sure enough, there was a sign. They bought the house from the church directly. Not long after starting the business, the couple landed on the cover of Slow Living magazine. We were in all these magazines about living the slow life, you know, she laughs. Andrew and I used to joke, because we'd be like juggling the kids with our small business, and we'd be frantic trying to get orders out or something before we had a staff. Hey, slow living, eh? She laughs. It was almost funny that we were depicted in this slow living, lazy lifestyle, but we were super busy, you know. It's hard to have kids and business. It's just the same life in a different location. We make jokes about Instagram, Callan says. My school friend is coming down from Brisbane on Friday, and she's like, I better get my linen ready. I've got lots of friends in other cities that ask me, is Byron always like that? Do you all just wear linen and hang out with your kids and eat food and have picnics with your baskets? It's not like anyone's pretending. We do spend a lot of time with all the kids, obviously. I guess it's just a bit of a different lifestyle than the city, you know. I am aware that from the outside it's funny. At first, Instagram felt like a psychological balm, a world apart from the sustained rage of Twitter and horror of Facebook. All those pretty pictures of cute kids and lovely interiors and far-flung destinations were soothing, reassuring. Then Facebook purchased Instagram in 2012 and launched Sponsored Post a year later. In 2016, the company switched from a chronological to an algorithmic feed to prioritize the moments we believe you will care about the most. By 2018, there were 3.7 million brand-sponsored influencer posts on the app, and those, according to Statista, are projected to reach 4.95 million in 2019. In just a few years, the app has turned making your life look like a vacation into an actual job for some. Yes, there really are all kinds, and for others, has become a constant reminder that watching people live as though on vacation is the only vacation most people can afford. Instagram makes us sad now. Surveys have found it to be the worst social media platform for mental health. The experience of following Courtney Adamo is a lot like falling down the proverbial rabbit hole. You pass through levels, like community and escapism, then through the looking glass, into the cognitive dissonance of watching her appear to effortlessly manage an unmanageable number of children of different ages in constant togetherness throughout extended travels, settling into a perfect dollhouse that never seems to get messy. People follow for the inspiration, for the aspiration, for the fantasy projection, the dopamine hit, or for a soothing respite from toddler tantrums, teen drama, financial struggles, processed food you wouldn't eat if you weren't so broke or stressed or pressed for time, marital problems, and ugly plastic crap. People follow for the self-harm, to pick at the longing and thwarted desires until they bleed shame. GomiBlog, an acronym for Get Off My Internets, is another rabbit hole, a darker one, that leads to a terrifying subterranean mirror world where the voyeurs obsessively dismantle the internet celebrities they can't help but watch. The hate Adamo gets there is hardcore. Commenters criticize her relentlessly for lacking transparency in disclosing sponsored posts and brand partnerships and gifts, for overexposing and commodifying her kids, for not letting them use screens while plastering them across hundreds of thousands of screens where other people can see them, but they can't see themselves. Gomi commenters obsess over and parse her background, how the oft-mentioned tulip farm she grew up on, founded by her paternal grandfather, is the largest supplier of bulbs in the world, how she is a great-great-great-granddaughter of E.W. Scripps, who founded the Scripps Media Company, which was so successful that it was put into a trust for the family in the 1920s, and which grew so large again that it was broken up in the 1970s. Adamo's maternal grandmother's portion, Pioneer Newspapers, comprised 22 publications in Washington, Montana, Oregon, Utah, and Idaho. In 2013, it was rebranded as the Pioneer News Group. When that grandmother died, Adamo's mother, Marnie Rusin, became chairwoman of the board. In 2017, the company sold its newspaper division to Adams Publishing. The remaining company is now owned by Rusin and her three siblings, along with eight next-generation family members, one of whom is an influential Murfer. "We live a lovely life, and I'm obviously not complaining about it," Adamo tells me later over the phone. "But on the other hand, I'm not living a luxurious, extravagant lifestyle. And anyway, that's completely subjective. What's luxurious to somebody is not luxurious to somebody else." It's hard to gauge how much an influencer makes, but according to Later, an Instagram marketing company, one rule of thumb is $100 per post per 10,000 followers. So someone with 250,000 followers might make $2,500 per post. Things like category exclusivity, the influencer can't post about competitors, and content licensing, which allows the brand to post the influencer's content on its platforms, can also increase what an influencer makes. Engagement rates, likes, comments, interactions are in decline, but that's less true among micro-influencers like Adamo, whose high levels of engagement are attractive to brands looking to partner. Where an influencer really aligns with a brand, there may be potential for lucrative long-term deals. So, engagement is what brands care about. Are the influencers responding back to fans? Are they getting comments? That's a big deal for brands, says Lisa Jamal, CEO of Social Intelligence Agency, a social media agency based in L.A. The mom influencer niche is oversaturated, but Jamal estimates that someone like Adamo would make $15,000 to $20,000 a month if she were doing two or three campaigns on a monthly basis. Adamo, whose last nine posts, as of this writing, included three sponsored ones, says she makes nowhere near that much. "If I was money hungry, I would take every promotion or be a lot more lenient with the brands that I promote," she says. "Just this week, I turned down three, and they were big ones." The day before leaving Byron, I went back to Adamo's house to talk about her new venture. A subscriber-based collaborative e-course on family lifestyle. It was cleaning day, and two women to whom I was not introduced were finishing up in the kitchen. The course was only a week away from launching, and Adamo was busy. Her schedule was packed. She had another meeting scheduled right after me. The e-course, which she conceived and executed in just 3 months, is called In the Loop, at the Loop Community, 838 followers. It consists of five themed PDFs with links to videos featuring Adamo and various local friends, experts, sharing tips and tricks on food, decorating, parenting, and family lifestyle. Adamo feels that people lack community in their lives. She's grateful for her wonderful community of women whom she learns from every day, whether it's at the beach, during a girls' dinner, wherever. I come back and I'm inspired and I've learned. Within the loop, Adamo wants to extend that sense of community and monetize it. A subscription costs $175. There's no sponsored content, except for exclusive discounts, as she later told BuzzFeed, on some of her favorite brands. I feel like it's an opportunity for me to do something that's completely unsponsored, she says. I'm only sharing what I genuinely love. The e-course was launched with a promotional video, a gauzy montage of Adamo and her family walking to the beach, surfboards in tow, on a trail under a canopy of trees. It's a soft focus parade of braids, straw hats, linen pinafores, overalls, and crisscross straps against some soaringly inspirational jingle with a Brazilian vibe. It looks like a promo for the remake of Picnic at Hanging Rock. If there's anything I've learned in the 14 years I've been a mother, Adamo says in the voiceover, it's that the parenting journey is an ever-evolving one. In the comments, the mood can veer from mostly fawning into bloody. Will the course deal with issues such as bringing up children in a privilege bubble, or white privilege worldwide, and especially in Australian history? Ask one commenter. And also having a nanny, a house husband, and tons of additional help and support, adds another. This one prompted Adamo to reply, please don't leave untruthful comments here. We haven't had a nanny or help with the kids since we left London. My husband has a job and works 5 days a week. We have no help or family around, apart from supportive friends. Not that I think there's anything at all wrong with having those things. But I just don't think it's fair to write these completely unfounded lies like that. Thank you. In the BuzzFeed article, Adamo acknowledged that she's been fortunate in her life, but that obviously the concept of privilege is completely subjective. She employs a housekeeper for 4 hours per week. She finds it sad that some people find it easier to explain away her happiness by making false statements about the incredible privilege she must have. When we first started traveling, there were people who said things like, you're going and staying in fancy 5-star hotels. And we weren't. We were staying in Airbnbs that were kind of rough. At first, I would take it so personally, Adamo says, of the negative comments, which she sometimes deletes. Now, I really genuinely just don't care. Getting older and being more comfortable in my skin, I just don't care if someone's got a negative opinion. I do agree that when you have a big following, you are responsible for creating an authentic vision, Adamo adds. Not that I'm putting the blame back on the person, but if you're seeing someone's life and their beautiful home and their perfectly dressed kids, and it's making you feel inadequate, then don't follow that person. Last year, Adamo's neighbor, Claire Alexander Johnston, the aforementioned at Jet Set Mama, decided to take a 5-month mental health hiatus from social media. I spoke to Alexander Johnston, who is from London and still sounds English, on the phone a month after I left Australia. She's not very plugged in anymore. I just wanted not to be beholden to my phone and that constant bing, bing, bing. She used to love Instagram for the creativity and the community it provided. Then Facebook bought it, and suddenly everyone is talking about being an influencer and algorithms and how to do it, she says. It was a massive progression of these things, like, can we monetize? People were sending free stuff, and then the big checks started rolling in, like, we'll pay you $5,000 if you promote this baby food. I could get $5,000 to $8,000. It's amazing. You've got to keep up that engagement. And then I was like, you know what? I've got that engagement because I'm not constantly selling things. She dabbled in sponsored, not sponsored posts, then realized she didn't want to do it anymore. She didn't need the income. Her husband, Richard Johnston's business, Tripadeal, is one of the country's most successful travel companies. She still wanted to support businesses, but stopped accepting gifts. I needed to figure out how to be a part of that space without feeling like I was selling myself. It used to be that you would scroll through Instagram or look through a magazine and know it wasn't reality. And then suddenly, it was like everyone was saying, no, this is my reality, actually, and this should be your reality. And actually, let me give you my top 10 tips about how to make this perfect reality your reality, says Alexander Johnston. And I think that is really hard for people and hard for me to understand and swallow and take. It triggers so many people's insecurities about, I'll never be enough. I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not clean or tidy or pretty or white enough. And I definitely don't wear enough linen. Alexander Johnston says she is aware now, in a way that she wasn't before, of the perception that was being created of this perfect life and these amazing friendships. I realized how damaging it can be for other women who are lonely or who don't have friends around the corner or who are working mothers and have to put their kids in daycare every single day. I was just aware that the representation of this white privilege was actually becoming quite confronting for the rest of the world, but also for me. Adamo likes to work with brands in an organic way. Every time she gets an email with a request, she looks at it with Michael. If it's something they would use themselves, they'll ask to test it first. This is my Baba jumper, she says, indicating her sweater. The Spanish knitwear company makes a point of donating its samples to refugees. I work with Marta Bajillo, who runs Baba, on 2 or 3 promotions throughout the year. I have done that for 3 years now. There's a children's brand called Nelly Quats in the UK, and every new season we work together. A lot of these brands I work with are run by women, and they're small, independent brands. It's really a pleasure to be able to help grow their brand. I ask how she gets her kids to wear what she wants them to wear, partly because my 10-year-old hasn't worn what I wanted her to wear since she was 2.5. We just try so hard with our kids not to put any emphasis on what they're wearing, Adamo says. I mean, Easton's now a teenager, and he obviously has an opinion. He doesn't want to put on what he doesn't want to put on, which is fair enough. But really, we've never put an emphasis on clothes. Sometimes, with my husband's family, his sisters or his mom, they'll see my kids, they'll go, oh, that dress is so pretty. I don't want them to make that a focus, so we try really hard not to even talk about clothes. Authenticity is a big part of what Adamo is selling, as is the idea that the life she lives is achievable. Her response to criticism suggests she feels accused of hiding things, a fleet of nannies say, that she's demonstrably not hiding. But this take is off. Her privilege on its face isn't what gets to people. What gets to people is her reluctance to acknowledge how that privilege holds up a pristinely simple life. It's this disconnect that drives people to hurl themselves down the life-sucking force of Gomi Blog. because everybody knows how excruciatingly hard it is to raise children, to keep house, to stay solvent, to survive. And following people who appear to do this with ease, who make a talent and a virtue out of being lucky, creates an unbearable feeling of cognitive dissonance in the beholder. It feels like gaslighting. It makes Instagram look like a giant, continually updated portrait of Dorian Gray, stashed in our collective closet, getting prettier and prettier as the world becomes increasingly grotesque. The path to White's Beach at Broken Head is lush and shaded by a canopy of trees. It opens on a wide, white, secluded, sandy beach. The Adamos came here today with the Winchesters and some friends visiting from Finland. Adamo is surfing. Winchester is cradling newborn Daisy. Clementine is riding Wilkie around like a pony. Winchester moved here from Sydney 8 years ago because she wanted her kids to have an old-fashioned lifestyle, she says. That's why I send them to Steiner School and all that. No test, no tech, trying to slow them down in such a fast-paced world. Sometimes she regrets not separating her personal Instagram from her business account, she says. Adamo looks at her in amazement. But people connect to the brand through you. Later that afternoon, I meet Mia and Hannah and their little boys in Brunswick Heads at Ethel Food Store, a cafe on a busy thoroughfare. They order flatbreads, and their kids order kombucha. The sisters live in Mullumbimby, of which one tourist website says, "If you're wondering where all the hippies in Byron have gone, take a drive to Mullumbimby." Hannah and Mia are happy to get out of their parents' house, where they are living while they Airbnb their own homes over the break. For the summer, they took 3 months off and went on a road trip. They rented out their houses to get rid of some debt and stuff and spent 3 months camping outdoors. I was pregnant the whole time, so by the end I was so tired, Mia says. I think I fell pregnant 2 weeks into the whole thing, Hannah says. It was good fun. It's hard work, says Mia. 12 weeks straight. No hot showers, Hannah adds. Yeah, I think the longest we went without having a hot shower, like a proper hot shower, was like 6 weeks, Mia laughs. The kids were filthy. They had bucket baths. Being away reminds them of why they love it here. Instagram helps make living here possible. I don't know how companies ever got off the ground before, Mia says. It was so much harder. That's our outreach, Hannah says. They didn't start Instagramming until they had a product, Mia says, whereas brands with more marketing savvy, she realizes now, build a following before launching a product. They already have an audience, Hannah says, and they go, "Oh, we're doing this as well." Whereas we waited until we had everything, and then we were like, "Here's our Instagram." They laugh. I think it's nice for people to see that you are moms. You have all this shit going on, but you're still able to run a business and live your life a certain way, Mia says. I don't really know what I was posting before, whereas now I feel like you almost have to have like a brand identity, she pauses. The less time you can spend on it, the better, really. There's a lot of talk about the Instagram community, but less talk about the effect of Instagram on actual communities. Byron is small and insular, and the brute force of social amplification has a way of distorting things. In normal life, you'd be out with girlfriends, and hundreds of thousands of people aren't going to see you eating spaghetti, Alexander Johnston says. But in Byron Bay, that is a possibility. Her husband grew up here and finds it quite hilarious to see his town turned into a social media hub. You're an influencer, and you hang out with your friends who've got 500 followers. Suddenly, overnight, they've got 5,000 followers, 10,000 followers. Then you've all accidentally become Instagram famous by virtue of each other. It kind of self-perpetuates. It's an awkward spot to be in, this influencer business, and it affects friendships. I know I live in this absurd white privileged bubble, Alexander Johnston says. I know that. But I also do genuinely have a heart for women and change and community, and I care about my children. There's more of an understanding of the value of privacy now. Not everyone is thrilled to have their picnics uploaded every time. She thinks a backlash is underway, which she has been privately enjoying. This only started happening the last 6 months, and I found it amazing, she says. People are having their birthday parties or baby showers, and they say, this is a no Instagram event, and you're not allowed to take photos, take videos, upload, post to stories. People don't want to be the cause of other people feeling left out of a birthday or a dinner. Or if someone's smoking a cigarette, they're a mom and they have a cheeky cigarette once every 6 months, and they're caught in the background of someone's Instagram video, and they get absolutely slammed. This article will be continued in the next installment. This program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. I'm Nancy Jones, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, broadcasting from its studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. Vanity Fair Part A airs via special subchannel receiver on Saturday and Sunday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Vanity Fair Part B airs via special subchannel receiver on Monday and Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Both Parts A and B are also available as a podcast. Opening and closing music by Calexico.